praying as to what the Lord would have us to do tonight, and knowing it was a holiday and understanding that folks are families and we got folks out of town and all that. But I was praying. I said, Lord, what do I need? What do I need? A lot of times, you know, pastors, we want to pray over, you know, what does the congregation need to hear? Lord, you know, then we pray for wisdom and discernment that he would get us to that place. This week, though, I backed up and I said, Lord, what do I need to hear? And tonight is the first part of two things. One is that I really believe that what's missing from our prayer lives are two foundational pillars that literally hold up the prayer power in not only the local church, but in all of our lives. One is forgiveness, and the other is purity. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking to you about purity. I mentioned Sunday that we were going to just pray for our country and pray for our church. We're going to do that at the end of this. I'm not going to make this long because I just want to kind of hit some highlights. And so I was talking with Patricia and Kevin about it, and we decided to put together a little handout so that you could have it. Probably won't cover all the scriptures that are there, so you can take those home and kind of work it out and do your own Bible study. But when it comes to forgiveness, that is the first key to maintaining our fellowship with God. Relationship, it's positional. We have our salvation in Christ alone. He has purchased that for us, and that is settled. After that, it becomes an issue of fellowship. Are we going to stay in fellowship? And we're talking about grieving the Spirit. We're talking about sinning against God. We're talking about doing those things and that we are assigned to do, given to do. And so with that in mind, tonight I'm going to talk about forgiveness. Sunday night, I'm going to hold off on Nehemiah for a week. I want to get back to purity because that's the second level. That's the second foundation of our prayer life. We're living in a day where we need to have power in prayer. You've got people all around you that need somebody who has a powerful prayer life. It's not, and when I say that, I'm not saying that you're able to pray and get stuff. It's not stuff. It's just being able to literally have God's ear, to be in fellowship with God, to be able to intercede on behalf of others, not only with prayers and intercessions, but supplications as well. But doing some reading this week also, and I've come across a lot of different things. But one guy said this, and he said, if your prayer life is in order, if it's in the shape that it should be in and ought to be in, he says, you will know the mind of God. You'll sense the needs of those around you, because if you have the mind of God, God's mind is always concerned about the needs of people. So you'll have the mind of God. You'll be sensitive to the needs around you. And then he said one amazing thing. He says, and this is never about yourself. It's about God and others. And I thought about that. Then I thought about my prayer life. How much time do I spend in my prayer life praying for David? Not for stuff, but, Lord, I've got this thing, and I've got to have you help me with this and that and this. And then I came across a book by George Mueller, and I was reading it yesterday, and I took it with me today, and it was supposed to be a beautiful day out on the beach, and I'm sitting down there this morning, and Sandy took her walk, and I went out in the water and got wet so the cool breeze would chill me off, and I'm sitting there, and I reached back, and I picked up this little light blue book, and it's probably got about 100 pages in it, and I got page 3, and I was just sitting there just as convicted as I've ever been in my whole life. This book is some part of his diary that he has written and he's left behind for us. And I was reading this. And of course we know that. I mean, it was incredible. But he said he never prayed. He never asked anybody for anything. He only asked God. And I said, okay. And then it said this. He says, if God didn't give it to him, if God didn't answer his prayer, then he didn't need it. And he never fretted over it. So he never fretted over what we would say would be unanswered prayers. And I'm thinking, oh, man. I'm looking out, and everybody's laughing and joking, and the water's coming. There goes a guy on a kayak, and I know him. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking, I got to redo this whole thing in my head. And I've been saved over 40 years. And I know I'm growing, and I want to be as close as I can to the Lord. So then it comes back down, and I said, Lord, what's the first thing I need to do? And he says, well, what have you been working on all week? I said, thing on forgiveness. He said, there it is. So You have it in front of you, and I just want to go down through it quickly, and then we're going to spend the rest of our time together praying. But first, dealing with forgiveness, what forgiveness is not? It is not a feeling. Nobody ever feels like forgiving. It's not pretending that I was not hurt. Pretending and forgiving are not the same. God can heal hurts, but not pretense. And you say, well, what? How does that work? You know how it works. Someone come up and say, look, if I've offended you, oh, no, I haven't. You haven't offended me. That's what he's talking about. Third, saying what the person did was not wrong, giving them a pass, relieving the other person of his or her responsibility. We do not exonerate them from responsibility for their actions, but we leave them to God, who can ultimately hold them accountable. And listen to this last sentence. My forgiveness releases God to work in that person. And you think, that sounds odd. It's almost like we're God-like and we have more power. No. When I forgive someone, I release that person. You know, Matthew 18, and we're going to look over there, and this could get bigger, but I just want to give you a heads up on it. You know, over in Matthew 18, when it talks about the servant who was forgiven much, and then he wouldn't forgive little, and then the king brought him back in and said, I'm going to put you in the tormentors. When we refuse to forgive someone, we become a tormentor. And you're not helping God with the healing process. So we have to forgive, or we'll become a tormentor. It's like we're holding something over. Their fellowship's not right. We can't look at each other. And so you got all this drama being played out over the fact. But when I forgive, and forgiveness, by the way, means you simply let go. You absorb the debt. You let go, and then you let God do the healing. It's no longer your responsibility. Why? Because you're trying to stay in fellowship with God. And that can grieve. You remember, and we're going to go to Ephesians 4:32. It says that that when we forgive, then God can what? Forgive us. And so, you know, those verses are there. How many times? 7 times 70. Yeah, okay, we got all that. But bottom line is, when you hold a grudge and you're holding somebody, you know, you will not forgive them, you become a tormentor. B, forgiveness is a decision I must make to obey God in getting my heart right with him. You say, yeah, but I thought it was between me and that person. No, everything in your life revolves around your relationship between you and God. A decision, even a hard decision. God has given us the choice to decide, even if our emotions are resisting it. It is an act of the will. It's not an act of our emotions. Forgiveness is a decision I make. I'm the only one who can decide to forgive or else live with crippling consequences of unforgiveness. You mean, really? Yes. To obey God, forgiveness is not a suggestion. It's commanded. And getting my heart right with him, it is between God and me, not another person in me. Psalm 51:4, David cried out, against thee the only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, O Lord. What are the consequences of the sin of unforgiveness? Our wrong reaction of unforgiveness is just as bad as the wrong action of the offender. For some reason, because we've been the victim, then we feel like we're a little more justified in being angry or not forgiving. No. Because if it's two Christians, then God is looking down on two of his children, and they're both wrong. They're both out of fellowship with him, so both need to be reconciled to him so that they can be reconciled with one another. Unforgiveness causes our prayers not to be heard. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity, we say, what's iniquity? Iniquity is when the old nature kicks in. I've been hurt, I'm angry, I'm mad, you can do all the stuff, but it's iniquity. It's iniquitous, if you please. And so what happens is, if I regard that, if I revert, I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and someone hurts me, and I become angry, and I'm not going to forgive them until, you know, I get my pound of flesh or whatever I need from them, or I'm just not going to forgive them, then what happens to my prayer life? It shuts down. What happens? Well, we're standing in grace, Romans 5. But when God looks down and he sees us moving our lips, he can't hear our prayers. Why? Because there's an iniquity. There's a sin. There's a transgression. There's a trespass. We have disobeyed him. We have not kept his commandments. We are out of fellowship. And so what's God is, what is he waiting on? He's waiting on us to ask for forgiveness from him for what we've done. And we have to make it right with our brother or sister. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The word contrite simply means pliable. Someone who's sincere, who's serious. Unforgiveness will bring your spiritual life to a halt. So the question is, do you want to hold on to the hurt and bitterness more than you want to go on with God? So here we come. What forgiveness is? Again, it's a command, it's a choice, it's an act of the will. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Do we fail the grace of God when we do not respond to it? God has given us grace when he's forgiven us, and now we won't forgive. And he says, then there's a root of bitterness. And notice it says, it's springing up, it troubles you. But then it's going to continue to grow, and it's going to defile those around us. Forgiveness, it's the key to moving mountains. Turn to Mark 11. I want you to see this scripture. Mark 11, the way it's written and it's tied together. Mark 11, verse 23. Mark 11, verse 23. Jesus is speaking, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. It's amazing. You've gone from moving mountains to not even having your sins forgiven because you won't forgive. So who's the key in all this? You are. You're the key. God wants us to be like him. We've already studied this in Romans 8:29. He is conforming us into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And that conforming is a picture of the potter and the wheel. And of course, we're the clay. And so he's molding and shaping us. And sometimes it can be quite painful if we do not cooperate. Forgiveness is the mark of radical love. Jesus said in Luke 17:4, that if someone comes to you seven times a day and say to you, I have repented, will you forgive me? He says, forgive them. Boy, you say, well, after seven times? I mean, I'm thinking now, you know, they got a bad track record here. I'm just going to back off and wait until they get real. No, that's not what Jesus said. So we say, well, David, this can get real complicated. No, see, that's the problem. It gets complicated because we want to add to it, and when we do that, that helps me to justify why I'm not forgiving and why I'm holding back. And so if I'll just do exactly what his word says, you say, yeah, but I don't want to be a doormat and I don't want people to run over me. Well, if they do that, then you'll just be like the Lord Jesus, won't you? So, well, you're getting all my excuses tonight. Well, yeah, that's the purpose of this. No more excuses. Your only alternative is torment. When we do not forgive, we've already talked about good. Matthew 18, if you turn there. Matthew 18, verse 33. The king brings the man back in who would not forgive little after he'd been forgiven much. And it says in verse 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Everyone. Everyone. Now, to add to that, our forgiveness is exercised to the degree that we forgive, and that's, again, that's Ephesians 4:32. Let me read it for you. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Strong statement there, bold, but true. True. Having the mind of Christ, Jesus, in Luke 23, he was on the cross, and what did he pray? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's a condition of our worship, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, see, it covers every area. Matthew 5, 23. Therefore, if you bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If you come to church, and you're getting ready to worship, and you remember, and the Spirit of God brings it to your mind, that someone has aught against you. You say, what does that mean? That means you've hurt them. He says you need to go to them and get it settled. Forgiveness glorifies God. Forgiveness does not keep count. Matthew 18, again, it's 70 times 7. That's what Jesus told Peter. And then 2 Corinthians, and we're going to close this up here in just a minute, but 2 Corinthians 2:10, listen carefully. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. Now, this is Paul speaking. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Now, why is he talking about this forgiveness thing? And remember now, he's writing to the church at Corinth, and they had lots of stuff going on. Verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan can use the fact that we won't forgive one another, and he will get his foot in the door, and he can cause a mess. Because when we get away from objectively obeying God's word and our whole Christian life becomes subjective, in other words, we're operating in the flesh and we're operating with emotions, it's not good. So closing. Now, this is just a wake-up call for all of us tonight. How do you know you've forgiven someone? Here's the acid test. You've forgiven them if you can hear the offender's name and your blood pressure does not rise. You go, okay, I'm doing all right. Wait a minute. You desire to affirm love to the person and communicate forgiveness, make restitution, and be reconciled. Now see, here's where we get ourselves in trouble. You say, but I didn't do anything. Okay? But are you willing, if you have forgiven them, are you willing to affirm love to that person? Are you willing to communicate forgiveness? Bottom line, are you willing to prove to them that you have forgiven them, that there's nothing between us? Now, 1 John 3:18, and then I'm going to say a few things, and then we're going to pray. 1 John 3:18, Jesus said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, don't tell me you love me if you don't. Don't tell me you forgive me if you don't, if you haven't. And then he says this in verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. How? Because not only do we not, let us not love in word, but neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, the truth is God's word, and the deed is that I'm going to obey God's commands to love, irregardless of whatever's happened. Irregardless. What I was going to say is that right now, in some minds of some folks in here, you've got a case, and you've got something that you've been through that nobody else understands. And all that I'm saying doesn't fit that. And as your pastor, go back to the Word, because it does fit everything. The church is anemic and weak because we are not forgiving people. And the reason that we're, and one of the issues and the results of not forgiving is that we don't have the prayer power that we could have. We could have. And it's not just, that's one pillar, forgiving. The other one is purity. And we're going to talk about that Sunday night. And for those who you're sitting there thinking, boy, I know somebody needs to be here. They should have heard. This was for them tonight. Well, they're going to get it back on Sunday night. I'll run it back by them again. I don't want anybody to miss out on this blessing. I'm just so kind. I like to share my, so I get to do this again, Kevin, and be miserable again. I got to go over it again. But folks, that's the bottom line. If we're going to be the people of God, then we need to be like our God, and we need to act like our God, and we need to do what our God would do. And what does God forgave all of us for all the things that we've done. And to be honest, there's probably not a lot of angels in this room tonight. I don't know of anybody, and I've been here about 15 years, and I was here a few years before that, and I don't see perfection. I don't see you walk in and the angels are hovering around you saying, holy, holy, holy. No, 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 no. But this is something that we need to address. And if you're here tonight and you're saying, man, I'm up to date. Well, God bless you. Don't let pride steal it from you, but hang in there. But there's some of us who need to be aware. There's times when I've sat in sermons like this, and I've been out there where you are, and I'm listening, and I'm going over a checklist in my life, and I said, no, Lord, and I'm okay, okay. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God says, well, yeah, what about 2 years and 3 days ago? And all of a sudden, it's like the video. And I said this, and I looked in their eyes, and I know that, oh, my stars. The Lord says, well, what are you going to do about that, David Earl? Well, Lord, see, the lawyer comes out of me. You don't know what he did to me. I'm telling the Lord God Almighty, he doesn't know what that guy said. That's weak. David, what are you going to do about that? Lord, I've got some work to do. I've got to make a phone call. I've got to see if I can get a hold of this person. That was mine. And you understand, and you know this, you know the freedom and the release that comes, that burden comes. Obeying God, doing the hard thing. I said this, I have no excuses, I was wrong, will you please forgive me? Why are those words so hard? Because our pride, and we hate to, you know, and we say, well, they're going to take it and they're going to beat it. It has nothing to do with that. Whatever they do with it, that's between them and God, but it's what you do with it. That's the point, that's the issue. What are you going to do with it? Our fellowship is between not, no, my fellowship that I have to have is between me and my Father in heaven. If you watch the life of Jesus, you know why he went off so many times by himself? Because nobody around him was understanding of anything that he was going through but his Father in heaven. Jesus didn't need a group. He had his Father in heaven. And we've got it backwards. We think, well, if I can find a group of like-minded people like me, then I'll be okay. No, you need to be with your Father in heaven, and then he'll put you with a group, but you need him first. That relationship is paramount. Amen? Well, we've written it down so you can take it home with you, not to elaborate on it. But I want us to spend the next 5-10 minutes by ourselves, and you may want to just glance down over that and just ask yourself, Lord, you know, what do I need to do? But I would start out your prayer with something like this: Lord, I've heard a lot, I'm in a lot, and I don't want to miss this opportunity because I want to be right. So Lord, I want to obey your commands, whatever they may be. Blank check. And then ask the Spirit of God to show you. And remember, he's the Spirit of truth. And he's not picking on you. And he's not playing with you. He's going to show you, because he is the Holy Spirit, he's going to show us everything that's unholy in our lives. Nine times out of ten, when I do this, I don't care what has been said or done, I see my transgression is greater than what anybody has even thought about trying to do to me, because I have offended the God that loves me. I have grieved his heart, and it's not disappointing. I have hurt him, because God's a person. I hurt him. Amen. Next few minutes, and then I'll lead you in the next step. So let's just spend this time alone with ourselves and our God. Lord, there's no way we can take care of everything that we need to in just 5 or 6 minutes. So I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that as we leave here tonight, God, we would continue, Lord, to allow you to work in our hearts. Lord, if we need to go over this list, if the Spirit of God has already pointed out some things, Lord, I pray that our only response would be obedience. Lord, forgiveness, it has got to be the hardest thing for us to do. Our pride keeps us back. The embarrassment of it, Lord, it just paralyzes us. People will find out that we're not what we want them to think that we are. The hurt, Lord, sometimes it can be very, very, very deep, very painful. So Lord, tonight I pray for all of my brothers and sisters in this room. I pray for parents and grandparents, Lord, that God, they'd forgive children who have hurt them, abused them, taken advantage of their goodness and grace. And Lord, this is a daily thing. It's not something that can just be once prayed and it's over. Husbands and wives, Lord, need to forgive each other. Church members need to forgive each other. Past, Lord, relationships need to be mended. Lord, I know of one person who's angry because their spouse died. And they're mad at their spouse still. And Lord, that is, you say, well, that's, no, it's still harmful. They have to forgive. Because now it's bled over to the fact that she's upset with God because their spouse died. And now it's, why, God, did you do that? And now it's, everybody around her is being poisoned. That's that bitter root, Lord. That bitter root is growing. Satan wants us, Lord, to stir up the old flesh and keep grudges and keep score. Oh, he delights in that. We all know of churches who've split and marriages that have been dissolved and relationships that have been, Lord, just ruined because of the lack of forgiveness. Lord, help it not to be on us. Help us to obey you and do the hard thing. It takes a step of faith, and it'll take the grace of God for us to do that. Lord, why this is so important is because we have a church that has many, many needs. Lord, we didn't have a prayer sheet tonight, and that was intentional. Lord, we need to pray for the body of Crescent Beach. This is the body that you've put us in. This is the place where we serve and we're part of. Father, from the nursery all the way to our senior adults, homebound ministries, choir, orchestra, Sunday school, Lord, there's needs everywhere, and Lord, those needs need to be covered in prayer. It's easy to have a meeting and try to fix it, but God, we want to fix it your way. So Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your direction. We need your favor. We need you, Lord, to show us what to do. When you bring this many personalities in one room, Lord, together, Father, that's a Red Sea crossing. That's the grace of God that we can be in one accord and we can be in unity. And prayer will keep us there in unity. We pray for our country. Lord, it seems as Isaiah 5:20 is coming to pass, what is right is wrong, what is wrong is right. Everything is backwards, it's upside down. It just makes any sense every night. Lord, hundreds, thousands of people being shot and killed in our own country. Greed, jealousy. We can say drug, we can say all kinds of things. Lord Jesus, where's the church in all of this? Are we being the praying church that we can be? Are we the influence that we can be? Are we sharing our faith like we can be? We know the difference Jesus can make. He did it in our lives, and he'll do the same thing in the lives of others. So Lord, to be honest, there's a lot to pray about tonight. Our country, our church, ourselves. So Father, as we close, I pray that you would ever remind us that you are a God who forgives, a God who loves with an everlasting love, a God who promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us, a God who has a plan for each of us. He has gifted us with at least one gift. And we all have grace, and we can all pray, and we can all love, and we can all forgive. And Lord, that's what you're looking for. And when the world sees that, oh my goodness. Having a full house will not be an issue. It'll be a blessing. So Father, I ask tonight, as Nehemiah prayed for the people, this is not a time to sorrow ourselves. It's the time to rejoice that we have a great God, a God who stands ready to help us with our weaknesses, help us with our infirmities, a great God who will stand with us and who will give us strength to do the things that we need to do to be obedient and obey his commands. We have a great and awesome God who has forgiven us. So Lord, I pray tonight as we leave, on this day, we celebrate our independence. We celebrate our freedom as a country. Lord, may we celebrate our independence and our freedom that we have in Christ alone. And there's our victory. There's our victory, Lord. We are the people of God. And because we are the people of God, we will obey our God and we will do what he asks us to do. Why? Because of his great love for us. And that same love that he has for us is shed abroad in our hearts. And Lord, we can share that same love with all those around us. Even the ones who test us. May they hear nothing but love out of us. Lord, tonight's a new start. Tonight's a fresh page. Tonight's a new beginning. And I pray that we would go forth in faith, in hope, not in ourselves, not in anybody else, that they're going to do what's right, but our God, because he always does what's right. Always does what's right. In Jesus' name.